You are good to begin.
Okay, not Laura, but I'll take it. The zoning board of adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Patel?
Here.
Mr. Reggio?
Here.
Mr. Blount?
Here.
Mr. Hidaka? Already was here. Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
Mr. Ellie?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag? Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic for which it stands.
Liberty.
Mr. Caneely, are there any changes to the agenda?
There are two postponements. 100 Lakeview will be adjourned until December 14th with no further notice. L&R properties will be adjourned until October, November 9th with no further notice. So those are all the changes that I have.
Thank you, sir. Let's move forward with item number 523-ZB-83V, Atec Lim.
Is Atec Lim present?
Okay.
It appears Atec Lim may have an attorney. Mr. Sachs, are you present?
Yeah, good evening. This is David Himmelman. I'm here on behalf of the applicant. Mr. Sachs was not able to make it this evening, so you get me instead. So don't shoot the messenger. In any event, I know the board has a large agenda tonight, so I'm just going to give a brief opening. And I have one witness who's, I see Joe May, our engineer, who's online. So if you don't have any direct questions, I can proceed. So just for the record, as you noted, the property is at 84 Lakeside Drive South. It's block 7913-1501. And it, of course, it's in your R10 zone. And the essence of the relief we're seeking tonight is for the minimum lot width and the minimum lot frontage, which are pre-existing. As you know, the applicant proposes to demolish the existing home and construct a new two-story single family on the property. And I believe we provided elevations and architecturals on that. Since this is a C1 bulk variance, we will need to establish both the positive and negative criteria as required under the municipal land use law. Mr. May, who is our engineer, is prepared to briefly discuss the proposed application and plan and address the planning aspects as well. So if there's no further questions, I guess we could have Mr. May sworn in and qualified.
Mr. May, can you raise your right hand?
Yes.
The testimony you're about to give us to the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Joseph May, M-A-Y. Address is 801 Faycourt, Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. May. If you could just give a brief CV, your background and qualifications and your licensure status so we could qualify you as an expert. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm a graduate of NJIT, class of 1993. I've worked for CME Associates, Short of Palma. I'm a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey since 2004. I currently serve as a borough engineer in a town in Monmouth County.
I think he's more than qualified. We can proceed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know, Mr. May, you've provided the board with some exhibits that you would like to have presented. Is that my understanding?
Yes, I can also share screens. I figured I would just share the screen as I go through my testimony.
Fair enough. Okay. I don't know if we need to have those marked, but we can, Mr. Caneely, I guess we can do that as we proceed.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. May, if you would just give a brief overview of the proposed application and then also obviously discussing the variance plan, and if you would also address the justification and proofs, particularly with the positive and negative criteria to support the C1 variance, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yes, sir. As discussed, the property is 84 Lakeside Drive South. It's in your R10 zone. The lot has 45 feet of frontage along the street and increases to the rear where it is approximately 83 feet wide. The total existing lot area is 9,285 square feet. The lot is presently occupied by a single family dwelling. The dwelling is situated slightly to the left where the setback is only 2.6 feet on the left side of the existing home. The existing house does not contain a garage or a second floor. There is a driveway on the right side of the house that can accommodate three cars. The surrounding area is residential with a portion of Lake Nelson behind the property, and I'll share those photos now. This is looking at the property from Lake Drive.
There's nothing up there.
I'm not sure they're up there, Joe.
Okay.
I see the reference to the exhibits, but it's not, they're not open.
Okay, let me see if I can.
Yeah, actually, I think if you open up the document and then you just hit share, I think it'll.
Yeah, it says you are sharing screen now, so I'm.
Unshare it, then open it, and then reshare again.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Stop sharing. Okay.
There you go.
There it is. Okay. This is a view of the property along Lake Drive South. This is the existing driveway of the existing home.
5 minute warning, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to leave now?
No. I just need to see.
This is a view of the backyard of the property from the driveway.
I'm just going to leave this on. I'll turn it down a little bit. I'll be back.
Please mute yourself.
This is a view of the property from the side yard. And this is a view of the of Lake Nelson from the rear of the property.
Fair enough. Mr. May, why don't we just have those designated as A1, those five photos?
Yes, sir. The second item we're going to share with you is the variance plan. Can everyone see this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
This proposed plan indicates the proposed dwelling. The house will have four bedrooms and an overall footprint of approximately 760 square feet. The new home will have no variances as we improve this side yard variance along this westerly side of the property. A two-car garage is going to be provided. The only relief, once again, associated with this is the existing non-conformity of lot area, lot width, and lot frontage. Since we are asking for bulk relief, we'd like to consider the positives and negatives of this case, taking into account the relief sought. It's a new home. It'll be modern, attractive. It'll certainly benefit the area. The project eliminates the non-conformity on the west side of the property, or the left side. The house is positioned not to be located in the flood hazard or riparian area. The two-car garage increased the availability of off-street parking. The project does not require any new utilities or road openings, as existing utilities can be utilized. The negatives: this application does not cause any detriment to the surrounding area, public good, or zone plan, since the property is presently zoned and is used for a single-family dwelling. There is no increase in traffic, noise, or density. The two existing nonconformities are part of a unique size and shape of the lot and do not affect the use of the property as a dwelling. In order to limit the bulk of the structure, the height limit recommendation of 32 feet will be adhered to. In conclusion, the construction of a single-family dwelling on the property is consistent with the zone plan and zoning ordinance. The use is permitted, and the new home complies with the R10 zone setbacks and coverages. The dwelling has been sized appropriately for the lot size that exists. It's an attractive modern home and only adds value to the neighborhood. I'd like to also add that we will modify the existing or the proposed driveway. So we'll utilize the existing curb cut, so there'll be no impact on the moratorium on that roadway.
Joe, I know that the board's landscape architect, Mr. Hinterstein, issued a memorandum dated October 11th, and you've had a chance to review those proposed recommendations. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We have no issues with complying with the items outlined in his memorandum.
Very good. Mr. May, would you like to add anything? You think you've covered all your testimony?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Board, we don't have any further questions of this witness, but the board may, as required. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any amendments to the board that have any questions for this witness? Henry, do you have any further comments?
No, I think the applicant outlined the application. Just maybe for the record, there is no additional property that can be purchased from either home on either side, correct?
Correct.
That's correct. Although that's correct, yes.
Right, without making them non-conforming themselves. Correct. Okay, so that's really the main, I mean, again, this is a pre-existing non-conforming lot. I don't think it could be made conforming due to the fact that there's no existing property that's available on either side of this property. They've offered to comply with the staff memorandum, so I do not see any issues with the application as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you.
Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Mr. May, could you unshare the screen, please, sir?
I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you, Chairman.
Hearing no other questions from the board, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? Ms. Buckley? Laura, you're muted, I think. Looks like she's having problems with her microphone.
Yeah, I think so.
I see that. Is one hand up if there's people? No, there's none. There are no people, she's signaling to me. Okay, we'll close the public portion. And that's the crux of your testimony, correct? That's the case?
Yes, correct, Mr. Chairman.
Fine. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second? Laura, if you can see me or hear me.
Would you like me to call the roll?
Jim, would you call the roll, please, sir?
Yes. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Juan?
Yes.
Mr. Piduca? Mr. Minaranda?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Himmelman, your applicant has been approved. We'll memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kinnear. Nice to see you, members of the board. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with the rest of the night. Thank you.
Let's appreciate that. We're going to need it. Let's move on to item number 6, 23-ZB-86V, John Jaramillo.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you both going to testify this evening?
Yes, this is my wife, Mara, and my name is John.
Okay, I need to swear both of you in. Could you each raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
One at a time, could I have your name and address, please?
John Jaramillo, 48 Carlton Avenue. Ooh. Oh, my. Myra Masvela, 48 Carlton Avenue.
Okay.
John Jaramillo, 48 Carlton Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could one of you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Okay. So we got the house. We bought the house a year ago. And this year we tried to replace the fence. The house already has a fence. So we replaced it. We didn't get the permit because we thought we were just replacing the fence. Then I got a notice because I didn't have the permit. I went to the town and they told me that
we also do the permit for us. Were we okay with, we tried to do the permit and everything. And now is we try to do the variance because the way the house has the fence before wasn't basically the way it should be or has to be.
So either the house is on a corner, it's on the corner, and the fence we install is a chain fence 5 feet.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to check with Mr. Hinterstein.
Yes, Mr. Hinterstein, could you please go over the site impact?
Yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, one of these cases where I guess they bought the property. The fence was there, but it was a fence that complied with the ordinance and the fact that it was 4 foot high and it contained 50% open chain link mesh. So there was no issues with that. Whether or not the shed was there or when you bought the house, I'm not sure, but that's also in a front yard setback. So the issue here is that the existing fence was replaced, if I'm not mistaken, with a 6 foot high chain link fence or 5 foot high?
The new one is 6 feet.
Yeah, what happened is we have trouble with a lot of, we right behind the house is a big park. And we've been have a lot of animals coming inside the property. And they jump like the 4 feet, so we put a 5 feet on it.
Yeah, no problem. Did you remove the split rail fence that was in the right of way? The old split rail fence? Okay, yes. So that's eliminated. I don't have a big issue with the location of the fence.
I'm in a meeting right now. I'll call you back.
The fence is pretty well screened with existing landscaping. But the issue with the shed is that you have that shed in the front yard setback. You have a large yard. There's really no reason for that shed to be located in the front yard when you can move it to the opposite corner, the opposite rear corner. So the fence, again, really, there's no issue. I think, though, the shed, being that it's a small shed, should be relocated to a conforming location so that it complies with the ordinance. It's not in the front yard of, Charter Street. And then the only other issue is you have a lot of shrubbery in the site triangle, which is not a problem, but it has to be maintained at a 24-inch high level. Because what happens is the cars that are coming out of Charter Street are going to have a difficult time seeing the cars that are coming down on Carlton Avenue if you don't keep that in or keep it at 24-inch height. So you don't have to remove it. You could just trim it down and keep it low enough where the visibility at that intersection is a little bit better, and it complies with this triangle ordinance that the township has, which states that you're not supposed to have any shrubbery that grows over 24 inches in height. So as long as you're in agreement with moving the shed, the fence, I think we could leave as is due to the fact that Charter Street really is an access road for a multifamily development that exists in the back of the site. It really doesn't have an impact on the neighbor. It is still 50% solid. It is well buffered with existing landscaping. So as long as the applicant agrees to move the shed to a conforming location and trim down the shrubbery in the corner, I don't see any issues with the application.
Gotcha. You guys are okay with that, Jerry Mills?
Okay with that, yeah.
Just give us a little bit of time for that.
No, you have to do it tomorrow.
That's all.
You'll have time.
Do we have any other members of the board that have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to go out to the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion, and I'll make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
Not a second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and send that document to you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Have a good night, guys.
Thank you so much. Have a good night, all. Thanks. Thank you.
Let's move on to item number 7, 23-ZB-71V, Rafael Santiago.
Is Rafael Santiago present?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
I need to swear you in. Are you both going to testify?
Yes.
Okay. Could you each raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
One at a time, give me your name and address, please.
Hello, my name is Luigi Serpa, 203 Birchwood Drive.
Rafael A. Santiago, 203 Birchwood Drive.
Thank you. Could one of you explain to the board what you want to do here?
Okay. So I'm going to be translating for him. So, ¿qué exactamente quieres hacer?
Sí.
¿Qué es lo que exactamente quieres hacer? Que la casa la compraste hace un año, ¿no?
Sí, la casa la compré hace un año. Y cambiamos la prensa. Sí.
Okay. So, they bought the house a year ago, but they already had the fence was already there, but then they updated it because it was wooden, so now they put a plastic one in. But when he went to switch it, he didn't get the approval. And then he got the notice in the mail to that he wasn't de qué era exactamente
de madera
no el
de qué
el notice el que
Dios mío no sé lo que me estás preguntando niño
lo qué es lo que te mandaron en el correo de que no estabas en complaje
no había permiso
okay so yeah so there was no permission from
change
to change the fence. But he changed it to 6 feet, but seeing where it's at the moment, that 6 feet is too high. So he's willing to push it back to meet what is requested from him. But he wants to know exactly like how far back is accepted.
Mr. Hinterstein, can you...
yeah, Henry, could you jump in here for a second?
Yeah, I mean... if everybody can mute themselves, if they're not... You know,
yeah, if this is not your application, could you please mute yourself until you hear your name called, please?
Just a lot of interference. The application is twofold. So there's a variance for the pool and the front yard setback, and there's also the variance for the fence. The recommendation for the 6 foot solid fence in this case is to relocate it at least 12.5 feet off the property line, which is half of what's required on a corner lot and the front yard. Requirement. So I think that's a good and typical proposal or compromise that we always ask for on the fences that are located on corners. As far as the pool, I just don't understand. Is there a reason why the pool can't be located in a conforming location? It appears that you have a decent sized yard here. You have, you know, over 10,000 square foot property. And I just don't see why the pool has to be you know, in the front yard. You say, according to your survey here, you saying that the pool is 14 feet from what? 14
feet.
14
or
20. It's 14 feet. Well, 14
feet from 20.
From where you wanted to put the fence or from where the, how far is it from the property line? Do you know, is it 19 feet? ¿Cuántos pies de la línea de la propiedad?
7 feet. De pegada de la propiedad, 100.
De pegado, 10.
Along, like it's 7 feet from the property itself. But then that's 14 by 20 is the dimensions of the pool.
Again, I mean, you're showing the, right now it shows 14 feet. And you were proposing the fence to be located 5 feet off the property line, if I'm reading this right, and then the pool 14 feet off of that. Is the pool in that location currently?
No, there's no pool just yet, but I know from...
Okay, so again, my recommendation would be is that, you know, at a minimum, you have to be 12 and a half feet as far as the setback for the fence, which is, again, half of what the required amount is. Mm-hmm. So you need to relocate that back. And then I don't see why this pool couldn't be relocated, you know, further back or more centered, you know, into the property. I think at a minimum, you know, the pool should be, you know, 20 feet off of the property line. I'll give a little bit of leeway due to the fact that it is a corner property, the additional 10 foot right of way. So 20 feet from the property line for the pool, I think is a fair amount. I think you showed it at 19, if I'm reading your plan correctly. So a small modification there. You have to keep the pool 20 feet off the property line, and you will have to relocate the fence to 12 and a half feet. And I think then the board can look at this in a favorable manner. If there's no,
Can you agree to that?
Okay, one second. So tendrás que dejar la piscina 20 pies de la línea de propiedad. So, lo tendrás que mover. Y la piscina y la fensa se puede quedar 12.5 sí. pies.
¿De qué
alto? De, pues, ¿de moverla?
¿De qué alto?
A 6 pies. A 6 pies.
¿20 pies sería para dónde?
No sé, pero si eso lo, si lo aceptas, ellos lo pueden revisar otra vez.
Ok.
Ok, yeah, that's fine.
Sounds good. Ok. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'll make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second? Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Minarondo?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill.
Yes.
Your application has been approved as modified. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and mail that document to you. You'll need that document for your permits.
Thank you. Let's move on to item number 8, 23-ZB-96V, Guest Room Events and Expo Center.
Good evening, Board Chair and members of the board. My name is David Prasad. I'm a licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey. I'm here tonight to represent Guest Room Event and Expo Center LLC that it is seeking a temporary use permit for 6 months under the Piscataway Code Section 21-1502.4. The property in question is 1412 Stelton Road. It is a unit within the overall shopping complex, and the client is looking for a temporary use permit to allow an event space in the BP1 zone where such use is not permitted. Before moving forward tonight, has the board attorney got a chance to review the published notice in the Courier News, and has the board received confirmation that the property owners within 200 feet have received their notice?
Yes, the board has received those items. They are in proper form, and the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you. Tonight, I have two witnesses to present, Daniel Harris, who is the owner and principal of Guest Room Event, and I also have a licensed professional planner, John DuPont, here to address a positive negative criteria and also the standards that are listed under the temporary use permit ordinance. We'll also be addressing two staff reports from John T. Chadwick, dated October 10th, and a report from Henry Hinterstein, dated October 11th.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay, so for the first witness, I would like to call Daniel Harris. She is a principal and owner of Guest Room Event and Expo Center, LLC. I would ask if the board could swear in.
Ms. Harris, are you present?
Yes.
Okay, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Danielle Harris, 642 Drake Ave, Middlesex, New Jersey.
Thank you. Put your hand in.
Okay, Ms. Harris. First, I would like to ask you your background and experience and what you do for a living.
So I do event planning and marketing.
And how many years?
I've been doing it for about 20 years.
Okay. And currently, how does your business operate?
Online mainly. So people find me and they seek me to help them plan events from retirement parties, birthday parties, decorating baby showers, and finding venues.
Okay. And how do you typically meet your potential customers?
At the venues.
At the venues. Okay.
At the potential venues, yeah.
So you're seeking to use this as an event space. Why did you choose Piscataway to operate your business?
I am originally from Piscataway. I graduated from Piscataway in 2003. I actually got my passion originally from doing my own Sweet 16 at the Piscataway New Market Firehouse. I planned my own Sweet 16 there, and I've been going ever since.
Okay. So why is this location, particularly this unit in the shopping complex, why is this suitable for your business?
Well, being from Piscataway, Stoughton Road has always been, I feel like, the luxury. Everyone from Piscataway and surrounding towns knows of Stoughton Road. There's ample parking. It's in a perfect location. The rest of the businesses that surround it aren't open at the times that I would be operating. It literally is the perfect location for an event space.
Okay. Can you explain how your business will operate in this location?
So Monday through Friday, like 9 to 5 on like a appointment basis, I would hold, if someone is interested in using the space, I would allow them to come in, view it, and do like a walkthrough of the actual space. And then basically weekends, I would host events there, from baby showers to retirement parties. And again, like I said, I'm a Piscataway alum, so I would hope to do a lot of events with Piscataway.
Very nice. Can you tell me how many employees you would have at this facility?
Well, currently it's just me and my dad that kind of do it for the most part, and then my children.
Good family business.
Yes.
So why would this space benefit your current business that you're operating now online?
Currently, there's nothing like it in the area. From being in the business for so long, there are places that you can host events, but nothing with the high ceilings and more. They're either really small or really big. The space that I found is the perfect spot for an intimate but spacious affairs. Okay. Yeah.
You did mention that you were going to have customers come in via appointment. I know that there's no current office in this building and it's none shown on the floor plan that we've submitted. Where would you meet your potential customers?
So basically I would just show them the space. They would come in and I would, hey, this is the room, and give them like a mock trial.
And as an event space, are you providing food for the events and customers?
No.
So they would get it from a third party caterer? Bring them. Okay. Also, what are your requirements typically for renting an event space?
So basically, I would make them hire their own caterers or bring their own outside food. They would sign a contract with me, and then they would have to get event insurance.
Okay, perfect. And just to be clear, the hours of operation that you're proposing, I did hear that you said Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. just to meet by appointment. Right. What about the event space hours?
So I would like to be from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. During the week. I really don't see something going until 1 a.m. Realistically, but then the weekends from like 11 a.m. because baby showers typically are a morning thing, or kid birthday parties.
Understood. And you mentioned the insurance policy that you would require.
Yeah, it's a standard. No matter where I go, other people's venues, if someone rents using me as their event planner, I require them to get event insurance, and it's typically like a $1 million policy.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Other than that, I believe I will open up the client for questioning.
No, I love Piscataway and I'm excited.
Thank you. Any members of the board have any questions for this applicant? Any comments? Hearing none, you can proceed. Mr.
Priscilla. I got a couple questions, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Henry. I thought we were going to do that at the end. That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. When you bring in outside, you said there's obviously you don't handle the food. It's outside caterers, outside servers. Well, let's start with this. What's the occupancy of the building?
So
the occupancy, if you know it.
So currently, I believe when I had the architect come out, he gave me 99. Mm-hmm. But then when we had the site planner come, I believe it's at 149.
If I may, Mr. Interstein, we had a conversation with Joe Hoff from the township. He did say 99 is a reasonable proposal for the maximum occupancy. However, he did say that 147 is the maximum occupancy this building can have because it has fire sprinklers installed. And as long as the rear entrance door on the unit is designated as a fire exit, which it is.
Okay, and when you bring in outside food, and that can mean caterers, that can mean servers, that can mean, you know, bartenders, cleanup staff. How many people typically for an event space of this size would be sort of an associated number of, you know, workers? I understand it's just you and your dad and perhaps your kids, but, you know, there's other employees that are going to be coming to that space. So I think what you need to keep in mind is whatever the occupancy, whatever we determine to be the maximum occupancy for the event space, that shall include employees and servers, I would imagine. Correct, Jim? Yep, occupancy is occupancy, right?
Yep.
So, right. And so, you know, I think based on, you know, maybe testimony that we'll hear about the parking will determine, you know, where in that range from 99 to 147, if there needs to be a limitation.
Yeah, and from doing this for so long, typically when you have an event space that says the average party is typically about 80 people. People like to think they know way more than that. But and then if you have like a staff of people, they're there before people arrive, setting up, decorating, dropping off food. If someone uses servers, it's typically two. If there's a bartender, there may be two. But the staff for the overall is not there at the same time that the participants are there.
And what were the weekend hours again? One more time, please.
I would like to go from like 11 a.m. to 1 a.m.
And last question would be, is where is this unit located on the premise? There was no key plan provided. I believe with the application, there was an all set of approved plans and there was a set of architectural plans, but there really wasn't a key plan to show where in this larger building this unit was. Is it in the middle? Is it right next to the daycare?
It's right next to the daycare. So it's located behind the beauty supply store. Okay. And right next to the daycare. And then the daycare doesn't operate at the same time with me, so that's why it's so genius.
Okay. I would imagine maybe the planner's got some more information regarding how that's going to work.
Okay.
Any other board members have any questions or comments?
I have a couple, Mr. Chair. Sure. I have a couple.
Proceed,
do you allow alcohol at the events?
I'm sorry?
Do you allow alcohol at the events?
Yeah, most event spaces, you do allow alcohol, and that's why you make them get insurance. You can't sell it.
Can they get the video one-day license?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The other thing, what do you use for security?
Me personally, I don't do events that require security. I'm doing retirement parties, a graduation party, family gatherings, baby showers.
You don't think those events cause some kind of a disturbance once in a while?
I have a pretty good I have a pretty good judge of character. I personally haven't had any issues. But if there was to be an event that felt like I needed security, then I would have it. Either myself or my dad is typically there at an event to kind of gauge and make sure that everything runs smoothly. But yeah. if there was something, I wouldn't be against security.
I have no other questions at this point, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, John. Mr. Prasad, I think you can proceed with your next witness.
Okay. For my next witness, I'd like to call our professional licensed planner, John DuPont. And John DuPont will testify as to the standards for the temporary use permit that is listed under ordinance section 21-1502.4.
Mr. DuPont, are you present?
I am.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? The testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
My name is John P. DuPont, 756 Jackson Road, Stewartsville, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. DuPont, are you familiar with the ordinance that I just mentioned for Piscataway for the temporary use permit?
I certainly am.
And can you please just provide testimony as to how we meet those standards?
Before you do that, could we have your qualifications?
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely. So I am a professional engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been a planner for about 20 years. I serve as the Borough of Carteret planner for the planning board for the last 20 years. I've been throughout the state as both an engineer and a planner. I've been in front of the Piscataway before as both as well.
Mr. Chairman, I believe he can be accepted as an expert witness.
I agree. Please proceed, Mr. Prasad.
Thank you very much. So just to recap quickly, so as we know, the applicant's requesting a temporary use variance to locate her business in an existing shopping center. The event center will require a use. The applicant's looking at to occupy unit 5 in that building. However, the remainder shopping center is still being used. Our unit is currently vacant. There's retail and commercial uses still happening on the site. Because we're looking at a temporary approval for the event space, we looked at Piscataway's ordinance 21-1502.4. This allows temporary uses within the township under certain conditions. And if you'll don't mind, I'm going to read you the ordinance. So the ordinance, again, 21-1502, it recognizes that it may be in accordance with the purposes of the township ordinance to permit temporary activities for a limited period of time, which activities, one, constitute uses not permitted not permitted by the provisions of the township ordinance, two, involves the property which has never received site plan approval, three, involves a property which has zoning violations or property maintenance violations. So we are going under the condition number one, that the use is not permitted by the township ordinance. So there's two conditions of that you have to meet. One is a condition A, in a way that the use exert no substantial detriment effect upon the uses and activities normally permitted in the zone. So our use does not exert a substantial detriment on the uses of the land and activities in the zone. The operation of the event space does not have a typical operating hours and time of business. In particular, the adult daycare on site closes at 3 p.m. on weekdays and does not operate on weekends. Our guest room event will operate on weekdays beginning at 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. and on weekends from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. when the events are taking place. Note that some of the times may vary, and we do not all require a closing time. They don't all require a closing time at 1 a.m. That can vary. The maximum parking required for an event with full capacity at this location will be 37 spaces based on your ordinance, one space per four seats, which will leave over 100 spaces empty for other uses when the event is occurring. It is difficult to imagine that we take every space available. I'm sure our client would love to have that happen. But as was brought up earlier, even at full capacity, we're going to have over 100 spaces not being utilized by our client. And during the office hours, our customers will be visiting the site by appointment only, and that'll be one or two people. So during the day, during the rest of the busiest time for the rest of the shopping center, really, we have limited to almost no activity. Now, with respect to B, there's a second part of this, that the use cannot contribute materially or has to contribute materially to the welfare of the township, particularly in a state of emergency under conditions peculiar to the time and place involved. And then a zoning board adjustment may, by resolution, after written application, subject to any conditions of the board, institutions and board it deems appropriate. That's subject to all regulations, issuances of construction, sewer and other permits, elsewhere specified, issue a temporary use for a period of time not to exceed 6 months. On the issuance of temporary use permit, the property owner shall be required to comply with all municipal taxes, fees, and regulations. So again, you say that the property, the unit is currently vacant in the existing shopping center. Our use fits perfectly with the shopping center. They can share services. They're sharing the parking. The parking exists. You have 140 spaces on site that during our peak time are not even being used. We are also in the process of filling out a formal full application for a permanent use. So we understand this is a temporary request tonight. We are preparing an application for a permanent use on the site as well. The 6 month time period will allow our clients who currently want to hire us for our services to do business with us right away. Now, as far as the MOU goes, we do have to still balance the positive and negative criteria. Very similar argument, but positive criteria. When I reviewed the site, I determined that the site was particularly well suited. This is a perfect example of how you could share services and share the site. We're bringing in a different peak completely. These businesses will not overlap. They'll actually work perfectly together. There's no building expansion required. There's no parking expansion required. We have different peaks of users on the site. The other sites, we're on Stelton Road. It's surrounded by commercial and retail properties. We're not going to be out of character with the neighborhood, with the roadway. We have residential uses in the rear of the property that are heavily buffered and have been there, and our buffer's been there. There's no additional signs that'll be outside of what is already approved on site. So we don't need any special signing, no variances for that. Our use works well with the character of the neighborhood. As far as negative criteria, I look at the negative criteria and I don't see any. Again, our use works well with all the Stelton Road uses along. There'll be no impacts on the character of the neighborhood. Use won't impact the intent and purpose of your zoning or master plan. And we are proposing use which will work well on site. The infrastructure exists already, the lighting, the parking, the signs, et cetera. I see no negative impact at all. And as I said, we are currently preparing a full application for a permanent use. But tonight we're looking for the temporary approval for 6 months. And that does conclude my testimony.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. Members of the board, I would like to open up our professional planner for questioning.
Appreciate that. John, you have any questions? Ms. Chadwick?
Yeah, I do. You said there's no signage change on the buildings anyplace?
Well, Mr. Chadwick, there's an existing freestanding sign that has slats in it. So we will fit a sign right into that existing slot. That's going to be it.
The other thing you didn't mention, is there going to be any audio systems in this building, or is there an audio system? I mean, a lot of these parties or events are going to have music.
Perhaps my client could answer that question.
Yes, there is music, but typically they stay at a moderate
volume. Well, it kind of goes to what Henry's question. I wasn't exactly sure what space you were going to take and whether the walls are going to be exposed to the neighbors in the back.
No, it's
located. Oh, you're going to show that on a plan someplace.
Okay.
Around.
Okay.
Where you are, I guess. And you can just list, you're not going to install any audio systems.
No.
Okay. And you would probably agree to some kind of level of amplification, correct?
Absolutely. I will follow all noise ordinance.
The only question I have is really not a question. The parking supply and the various uses, Mr. DuMont has kind of gone through it pretty quick, and I don't question it. I think we just need to have as a condition of the board approval this, that he gives us his calculations to show this surplus, or at least adequate parking available for events in the range. I guess your calculation was the 80 figure offered by your client. Or did you use the 140 figure?
We did look at off-peak, the 140 parking spaces and the full maximum capacity of our unit.
Well, you could provide that anyway as a condition, correct?
We certainly can.
Yeah, because I think we want to back into her full occupancy based on what else is there now.
Yes, I agree.
That's my only questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, John. I had a question. Did I hear right that there's only one restroom facility in this place, or is that?
No, there's correct? Two.
There are.
Yeah, there's two.
Okay. Any other members have any questions? Hemi, did you want to retouch on anything?
No, I mean, the staff report does talk about some things I think that they're going to have to address within the 6 months when they come in for the site plan application for this. Again, they have 6 months, I think, to come in with the site plan application to show that they're, I think, in conformance with, again, the parking. And then there are site, some issues with the site from the approved plan that are, the site is not compliant with the originally approved plan currently. So, you know, that's my biggest concern. So I would say that they need to be, these issues need to be addressed at, you know, when they come in for the site plan application, that's a should be a condition, I think, of the temporary use.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Any other members of the board have any questions for this witness and or the application? Hearing none, I'm going to turn it over to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Thank you. Close the public portion. And
I'd Mr. make a motion.
Yes.
One question, Mr. Cahill. Just, you're right next to the beauty supply place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what their hours are?
I believe they're closed by like 7.
So you may start parties at 6. They may be open and there could be music. So again, you just need to really, as John was stating, I think, figure out the level of music, because again, you think they close at 7, but it's a retail establishment. It's possible that they close at 8. It's possible that they close at 9.
And I'll
they have to conduct the business as well.
Yeah, so it wouldn't necessarily be events starting at 6. So if you were to have a dinner party, you probably wouldn't start until about 8. But I would allow you to come in and start decorating at 6.
Okay.
No other
thank
questions.
You.
Yeah.
Go ahead. All right, I'd make that a condition of the approval of the 6 months. I make a motion to approve it. Awesome. I get a second. Thank you. Read the roll, call the roll.
By whose second? I couldn't hear.
Kalpesh.
Thank you, Kalpesh. Okay. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
We will memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, board.
See you in a couple of months.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye. Good
night. Let's move on to the next item, which is number 923-ZB-92V, T-Mobile Northeast, LLC.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ed Purcell. I'm the attorney at Price, Neese, Shulman, and D'Arminio. Here tonight on behalf of T-Mobile Northeast, LLC. T-Mobile is proposing to place one radio dish on top of a 118-foot, 6-inch tower located at 300 South Randolphville Road. That's block 4503, lot 1.05. We're here tonight asking for an interpretation, allowing us to proceed to have this approved administratively as required by Section 6409A of the Federal Spectrum Act and the New Jersey Collocation Law.
Mr. Purcell, this one radio dish does not increase the height?
Correct.
It does not create any new variances?
Correct.
It does not expand the ground equipment area?
Does not expand the ground equipment area. There's no ground equipment.
And as a condition, would you provide the RF analysis and the structural analysis showing that the tower can hold this?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the applicant has satisfied the requirements for an exemption from site plan approval.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. My comment,
Go ahead, John.
The statement that there are no variances, I did verify that. And the only suggestion I'd have in addition to Jim is any prior approval and conditions thereof should be carried forward.
Mr. Purcell, you have any objection to that?
No, agreed.
Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Thank you, Kalpesh. Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Kalpesh, yes. You're muted, but there you go.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell, we will memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Let's move on to item number 12, 23-ZB-84/85V, Equity Land Group.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Kevin Morse, attorney in Woodbridge, New Jersey, appearing on behalf of the applicant Equity Land Group. The subject property is block 5302, lot 102, commonly known as 521 Stelton Road in the LI1 zone. As the board's aware, so there's been a few applications before you concerning this property. It presently contains a car wash, a Goodyear tire service building, what I refer to as a rear building, flex warehouse space, and a front building that has been approved for limited retail and personal services use based on a prior use variance approval in 2020. The proposal before you this evening is twofold. One, and the crux of the case is with regard to the rear building, where we're seeking site plan approval, use and bulk variance approvals to allow that building to be used as a recreational facility, which you'll hear testimony on. And the second part is just a housekeeping matter. We'll request a clarification on one particular item in a prior resolution of approval. Before we proceed, I would ask just to confirm, I had previously submitted our affidavits of publication and mailing. I wanted to confirm that they were received, that they're in order so that the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Your notices were received. They are in proper order and the board has jurisdiction.
All right, thank you. So I have a number of witnesses this evening. I have Robert DeLeo on behalf of the applicant, Siddharth Das, who is a proposed operator principal. I've got our professional engineer, Robert Murray, architect available. I don't know that I'll call him Brian Taylor, but I want to have him available. Also, James Higgins, our professional planner, and Jay Trapman, who's our traffic engineer. I know we have a busy night. I expect my witnesses will be succinct and to the point.
Appreciate that, Mr. Moore.
So first, I would call Mr. DeLeo, sort of set the table for the application, if he could be sworn, please.
Mr. DeLeo, could you raise your right hand? Swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Your full name and address, please.
Robert J. DeLeo, 31 Davenport Way, Davenport Way, Hillsborough, New Jersey, 08844.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. DeLeo, you are a principal of the applicant Equity Land Use Equity Land Group LLC, correct?
Correct.
And authorized to appear on its behalf this evening, is that right?
Correct.
I would just ask that you give the board some very brief background. There are a number of prior applications, I understand, regarding this site, most recently in 2020, where you actually testified, and just bring us up to speed how we get to the request this evening for the recreational use.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Just a little historical perspective on how we're at this meeting tonight. Obviously, my 2020 application is probably this board is probably pretty similar makeup as it is today. So I'm sure most of the people on the board remember that application where I came in for to further develop the property that had a car wash and a tire service center on it to add two additional buildings, a 17,500 square foot building to the rear of the property and a 10,000 square foot building fronting on Stilton Road. What I wanted to bring up is that prior to my 2020 application that was approved by the board, back in 2011, I actually came before the same zoning board with an application on this property on a very similar building to ask for a recreational use to be permitted on this property. I didn't have a specific recreational use at the time, but I thought I could persuade the board into giving me an approval and conditioned upon when I get in a recreational use, I would have enough parking to satisfy the ordinance. Unfortunately, I wasn't persuasive enough and the board didn't really know how to act on it because there was no specific use. So I withdrew the application, but I did just wanted to point out that the resolution and findings for that application for the recreational use on the property, I have the resolution in front of me, but the conclusions and findings were very favorable from that board based on the conditions at that time. Now we're talking 10 years later. I don't think too much has changed drastically. And in 2020, when I came before this board, I again did not have a recreational use in mind, but I still believe that recreational use would be very appropriate at this property. So I designed the buildings and the property to provide as much parking as possible to have as much flexibility for different uses. I reduced the size of the front buildings because it's a five and a half, it's almost a 6 acre site actually. And this, the amount of buildings on that site is nowhere near what could be allowed per the, if you want to call it FAR. So I think we ultimately provided more than adequate parking to satisfy and comply with, and it's only my personal opinion, but a very onerous parking ordinance in Piscataway. So I do think we have enough parking. Also just as a note, I did, when I redesigned the back building, I decided to do it as a clear span building as opposed to having interior columns, which is very attractive for any recreational use. So it was always in my mind that a recreational use would be something that would be a viable option at this property. So once we started construction, we did have interest from many, many recreational uses, soccer, indoor soccer, indoor baseball, pickleball, cricket. So based on the rising population of pickleball, we decided to move forward with the operators that'll be testifying before you today. I did want to make a comment too. I do have a building in Flemington that is 20,000 square feet. It has two tenants, a pickleball, Flemington pickleball, which is an 11,000 square feet with five pickleball courts and a electrical supply house, which is in 9,000 square feet. That property has 50 parking spaces, which is roughly 2.5 per thousand. And I think I am double that here on this property, if not more. So I just wanted to say that they're very successful there. And I just wanted to make that as a side note. So obviously my hope is that once you hear from all the testimony tonight, from the operators themselves and from the professionals, that you will look favorably on this recreational use of this property and another feather in the cap for Sportstown USA.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. DeLeo, again, you really kind of designed and set this property up with the hopes that in the future you would identify the recreational user. You sort of built it out for that so you could ultimately make this request before the board this evening. Is that correct?
Well, I always thought it was a viable option. Obviously, when I came in 2020, it was for more of an industrial flex space, which it still could be in the future. That's what the underlying zoning is. But obviously, to have one user for one build for the building, as opposed to dividing it up into smaller spaces, is a much more economical way to go about it. And obviously, it reduces all the truck parking that and truck turnarounds that would be going on. So I think I always thought it was a viable option, but it just took a while to get to this point.
All right. Now, again, it's important. You are an experienced developer of properties, various residential, industrial, commercial uses where you have end user tenants, correct?
Correct. I don't have any residential, Kevin.
Excuse me. Everything's commercial, industrial type. So you have another facility and you have particular experience with one of your other tenants in another location with a pickleball recreational use. Do you have an opinion as to, based upon your prior experience as a as an owner of a facility, renting to a pickleball facility or sports facility, whether the site as you've designed it here, and certainly which we expect will be supported by our other witnesses' testimony, has adequate and sufficient parking and otherwise is viable for this proposed use that we're going to present some testimony?
No question. I think there's more than adequate parking. And it's got two ingresses, it's got two curb cuts, drive lanes are wider than standard, and more than sufficient parking.
All right, very well. So look, I'll ask you to stand down. Mr. DeLeo will be available through the entire hearing if questions comes up as the property owner. I would next ask to call Siddharth Das, who is a principal, the proposed operator of the recreational facility, if he could be sworn, please.
Hi, Kevin. Das, could you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Siddharth Das. Address is 2 Pembroke Terrace, Hillsborough, New Jersey, 08844.
Thank you.
All right, Siddharth, you are one of the owners of the business entity that would be the proposed operator of the recreational business at the subject property. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you would operate the business at a that business as a tenant at the subject property, correct?
Correct.
Now, I understand first that personally you have experience in operating a recreational facility similar to the proposed use before the board tonight. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I understand you have another recreational location located in Middlesex County, Park Avenue in Edison Township that you have operated for the past 4 years. Is that right?
That's right.
And similar type use, recreational, it's successful in that location. Is that correct?
Correct.
So much so that you have moved forward to acquire as a tenant another location to operate a similar type recreational facility. Is that right?
That's right.
Right. Based upon your experience in the county, Middlesex County, and as a current operator, do you believe the site would be successful and is adequate both in size and with parking, ingress and ingress and so forth to support your proposed operation?
Yes, it is.
All right. So now some description of the business itself. I understand it is proposed to have 4 pickleball courts, 2 badminton courts, correct?
Yes.
1 racquetball or squash court and 3 batting cage / tunnels for batting practice, correct?
That is correct.
And that batting cage, if you will, to be used for baseball, softball, or cricket batting. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, I understand that there will be a small reception check-in area at the facility, correct?
Correct.
2 bathrooms?
Yes.
No locker rooms or changing area?
No.
Some vending items by machine, either water or snacks for the users who come to the facility, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, I understand your hours of operation are proposed to be 24 hours a day, correct?
Yes.
However, that really your peak hours are really early morning through mid-evening, is that correct?
That is right.
And so that you are going to staff the facility on Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. because that's when you have most of your business, is that right?
Correct.
Also, Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. with 1 employee, correct?
That's right.
And the remainder of the time, I mean, it would remain open because I understand you will intend to offer memberships, which will have discounted court reservation fees. Is that correct?
That's right.
That you will have an online reservation system, so courts would be booked based upon their availability. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that results in people not waiting around to get a court because they check in before to see if something's available. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And that would include the batting cages as well, correct?
Yes, it would.
Now, walk-ins would be allowed if courts were available. Is that right?
Yes.
But based upon the system and the reservation, do you anticipate everything is going to be pre-scheduled, or predominantly the operation will be for pre-scheduled visits?
Correct.
All right. Now, one of the questions in one of the review memos, we have not submitted as part of the site plan any proposed signage for the building because that hasn't been determined yet, correct?
Correct.
Right. I do understand that you have engaged a sign contractor who you have advised me is familiar with the municipality's sign ordinances in particular to design some signage for you, correct?
That's right.
And you will submit those for review. And if they're in conformity, no further relief will be needed. If you decide that something exceeds, you understand you would have to come back to the board to make application if you required variance relief for any of your proposed signage, correct?
Correct. That's correct.
Now, one thing in particular, you know, in reviewing the memos issued by the board professionals, there's a question about tournament events. Now, I want to make sure we get this correct. You, I anticipate, like many recreational facilities, that you will probably have some leagues. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that I expect there will be interleague tournaments among various leagues that may exist, women's league, men's league, kids league, whatever, at your facility, correct?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay. But those types of tournaments, those are scheduled events. It's not a one-shot deal where everybody shows up for a competition. Is that correct?
That is correct. They are scheduled.
Almost like golf tournaments at country clubs where there's different play is scheduled and people compete and they try to move up in score, correct?
That's right.
All right. One thing in reviewing the memos is I understand. I just want to confirm you don't plan on scheduling any type of spectator tournaments where it's show up and we're having a big tournament kind of situation, correct?
No, we're not.
Okay. And in fact, the facility itself, it doesn't lend itself to really any spectators, anybody showing up to watch, because it's just user courts and a very small reception area where you check in. There's no viewing areas, correct?
That is correct.
So the facility itself wouldn't support any type of show up and come to a tournament and see how you do kind of thing, correct?
Right.
All right. So if the board were to look favorably on your application, would you agree that to a condition that there would be no spectator or general tournaments to be held at your facility?
We would conform to that.
All right. So again, Mr. Keneally, because we're responding to a comment, I think we can quantify that with language, but I just wanted to make sure there was no confusion, because an interleague tournament is different from what I think the board is driving at, that you're having some scheduled mass event for people to show up and compete.
I think we can cover that.
Okay, very well. Thank you. All right, again, so based upon your experience, Shadarth, do you believe this facility has adequate parking, egress, and ingress to support the recreational use that you are proposing at the site?
Yes, it does.
All right, so then I have no further questions of Shadarth. If there are questions from any of the members with regard to the use, we would invite them. He will also be available for the whole hearing in case a question comes up along the way.
Anybody, any member of the board have any questions for this witness?
Just a quick question,
Mr. Sure, Henry. Chairman.
Shadar, or Mr. Das, you said you have another facility in Edison, correct?
That is correct.
How many parking spaces do you have at that facility, just out of curiosity?
15.
How many courts?
We have four batting cages.
Just four batting cages?
Just four batting cages. It's a smaller facility.
Okay. I have no other questions.
Thank you. Any other members? None? Okay. Mr. Morse, please proceed.
Next I call our engineer, Robert Murray, if he could be sworn, please.
Mr. Murray, could you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Robert Murray, 590 Watchung Road, Bound Brook, New Jersey.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Murray, you're a licensed professional engineer of the state of New Jersey, correct?
Correct.
I understand that you've had the pleasure of testifying before this board on prior occasions, and you have been accepted as an expert in your field. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so I would ask, Mr. Chairman, that you accept Mr. Murray again as our expert in his field without me having to go through his curriculum vitae.
I appreciate that. Please proceed.
All right. So, Mr. Murray, you're employed by Menlo Engineering, who is the outfit that prepared the site plan that's before the board. Is that right?
Correct.
And in fact, Menlo Engineering had prepared the prior site plans on prior applications before the board. Is that correct?
Correct.
So as such, your firm has been familiar with the development of this property for so many years on various applications. Is that right?
Correct.
And now we don't have a lot of site work going on here, so I would ask you to just describe the site as it exists very briefly and the very limited proposed improvements to the site that are being done or proposed in connection with this application.
Okay. Allow me to share my site plan rendering here. Okay. So as the site exists today, it is the site is block 5302, lot 102 in the township of Piscataway. As it exists today, it has a car wash, limited retail, a tire service station, and a flex space to the north. The site has access off of Stelton Road via two driveways. To the north of the property is a railroad right-of-way and a vacant light industrial lot. To the east is a manufacturing facility. To the south is a retail and grocery facilities. And to the west is a Valley Bank. As the site exists today, it has 152 existing parking spaces.
All right, thank you. And what are we proposing in terms of actual site changes?
To actual site changes, we are adding additional parking to put the parking count to 168 total spaces, where 8 of which are EV spaces, where 144 are required.
Right. Other than that, there are no other site improvements that are required in connection with this proposed use of the building by the recreational user. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. I'd like to direct your attention to the memo issued by the divisions of engineering dated October 11th, 2023. We've had the opportunity to review that with the applicant and its professionals, correct?
Correct.
Right. Item one was a description of the use, which I believe was covered by the operator. Item two will be handled by our planner. Item three, as the board is aware, when we made the application, there was no fencing around the detention basement that's already in place. And we requested a variance for that, although it was an existing condition. I am happy to report to the board that since the application was filed, Mr. DeLeo's company actually did fence in the detention basin, so I can withdraw our request for that variance. Item number four, the EV charging stations. The comment is that they be installed by the issuance of any CO for the new use as a condition of approval. We have discussed that with the applicant. EV spaces or EV charging stations are kind of a new item in the development. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And after discussing this with Mr. DeLeo, it would be our request to have a bit of relief from the board on that, namely that we would make all the spaces EV ready, meaning that the electrical would be plumbed, as it were, or set up at those spaces to make them EV ready prior to the issuance of the CO. Is that correct?
Correct.
But that the applicant would be requesting some relief, perhaps 6 months until April 30th, just some reasonable time to not hold up the issuance of the CO so the applicant can get some further information, because we don't want to put in inappropriate EV charging stations. If the technology is changing, and we would ask for relief to the board just to give us, should you look favorably on this application, 6 months from the issuance of the CO for the building to allow us to install those charging stations. So,
Mr. Morris, would it be acceptable if there was a condition that the EV stations would be operational by April 30th, 2024?
Let me just confirm that with Mr. DeLeo.
If that's going to give me my approval, I guess I'll have to do it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but
That is the board's request.
Yeah, look, we're requesting from relief. We certainly don't want it. So if the board is going, we'd ask for a year, but I understand that, you know, there's going to be some condition. As we said, if you can give us that relief, then we appreciate it. All right. And then item five was a question on signage. The applicants already addressed that. No building signage proposed. That will be dealt with at a later date and hopefully not back before the board. So that is it for our engineering testimony. Again, folks, we don't have a lot going on here. So unless there's questions from an engineer at this point, who will also remain on board until the hearing is concluded, I'd move on to my next witness.
Yes. If you could unshare the screen, please. Any other members of the board have any questions for the engineer? Prior witness? Okay. Mr. Morse, proceed, please.
I would next call James Higgins, who is our professional planner.
Mr. Higgins, can you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
I believe Mr. Higgins has appeared on many occasions before this board as a professional planner.
Yeah, I think we can proceed on this.
All right, so you'll accept them as our experts.
Yes.
Our thanks. All right, Mr. Higgins, you are principal of James W. Higgins and Associate, correct?
Yes, you are, me.
Yes, I am. I'm president. I'm still a licensed planner in New Jersey.
All right, now, your firm actually provided the planning testimony. You were the experts at the last application before the board on 2020 and provided testimony at that time. Is that correct?
Correct. My daughter and my associate, Allison Coffin, actually did that testimony.
Right. So as such, your firm's been familiar with the continued development of the property and its history. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
Right. Now, I understand you've analyzed the proposed application from a planning perspective. Is that right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I would ask that you detail your analysis, any findings or conclusions you have reached, your opinion with regard to the request and the basis for them.
Yeah, surely. Yeah, the site's in the LI light industrial zone. It has a mixture of uses on the site, as has been described, so I won't go over all that again. You do have a small building that was recently approved for limited retail commercial uses in the front, and the rear building, which was going to be utilized for flex space, and now the applicant is requesting that building be utilized for recreational purposes. D1 variance is necessary, and I think there are special reasons for the granting of the D1 variance. In this instance, the site is particularly suited for the use. Generally, recreational uses such as are being proposed here are best situated in areas where the buildings are designed more for industrial type uses than for commercial uses. In this instance, the building is 17,500 square feet. It is, as has been described by Mr. DeLeo, has a very open floor plan inside it, which is ideal for the type of recreational uses that are being proposed in this instance. There's adequate parking on the site so that clearly the site can accommodate the use. With regard to the purposes of the municipal land use law, there are a number of purposes of the land use law that I think are addressed by this application and promoted by this application. The first is to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health and the general welfare. In this instance, recreational uses clearly do promote the public health, both physically and I think psychologically too, in terms of having recreational activities that are available to the public. In this instance, there's a variety of recreational activities, including the batting cages, which I think are in demand in just about all New Jersey municipalities, particularly to work in conjunction with Little League and high school and so on programs. So I think clearly that purpose of the land use law is advanced by this application. The others provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses, including recreational uses. And again, as I said, facilities such as this, locations such as this, where the buildings are actually designed for light industrial use, are most appropriate for recreational uses also. So I think it advances that purpose of the land use law. Go on to encourage the coordination of various public and private procedures and activities with a view of lessening the cost of development and the more efficient use of land. Again, you have a building here that's been approved that can be utilized by this use appropriately. So I think it really is a cost-effective condition that advances this purpose of the municipal land use law, and it is a more efficient use of land to utilize a building that has been approved on the site, has the parking, has appropriate circulation, and rather than to have to build another building on another site someplace else. So I think it advances that purpose of the land use law. I don't think there's any substantial negative impact from the granting of the application. Again, it's a light industrial zone. The building is designed for light industrial use, but is clearly appropriate for recreational use. So should at some time in the future the recreational use of the building cease, the building could be utilized very easily for permitted uses in the zone. So there's no substantial impact on your zone. I don't think there's any substantial impact on surrounding uses. You have a railroad track to the immediate behind the building, and there are no residential uses that are close that could possibly be impacted by this use. So I don't think there's any substantial negative impact. So in conclusion, I do think that there are special reasons in terms of the particular suitability of the site for the use and the general welfare being advanced by that particular suitability, and I don't see any substantial negative impacts.
Right. So then it would be your opinion that the use variance and bulk variances could be granted without substantial detriment to the public good or without impairment to the municipality's zone plan and zone ordinance. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, the bulk variances actually have been previously approved and they're not being changed.
Right.
So there's no impact whatsoever with regard on this application with regard to those bulk variances.
And in particular, from a planning standpoint, there's sufficient parking, egress, and circulation. From your opinion as a planner for the proposed use in connection with all the other uses of the site.
Yes, and I have also reviewed numerous recreational uses on mixed-use sites, and this fits very nicely with the circulation and the ability, the parking ability on the site. So I have no problem at all with that.
All right, I'd like to direct your attention to the memo issued October 10th by 2023 by Mr. Chadwick, the board's planner. I believe, Mr. Chadwick, that from the testimony of the prior witnesses, as well as the testimony you've heard from Mr. Higgins, that we have covered all the comments in your memo, but I just wanted to make sure that we did. Mr. Chadwick, was there anything else?
Yeah, the zoning officer lists three variances under section 21-1203.4, freestanding signs, and you've agreed that you are not going to have any variances for signs. And if you do, you'll be back to see us.
Well, look, for those there, which I think were all pre-approved already, I think the spirit of the comment was you would anticipate that there might be some signage on the building itself from this proposed operator.
Yes.
And we don't have that on the plan as proposed because it hasn't been determined yet. So as we said, they've engaged a contractor who's familiar with your ordinances. One of two things are going to happen. Either they'll be able to pull permits in conformity with the ordinance and just put them up, or alternatively, if signage would require some type of relief, facade signage on the building, we would have to come back and see you to address that.
Henry, do you have any history to this? She's got those signs listed. I looked at the plan.
I think they were pre-existing.
Yeah,
one pre-existing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
one may not be up yet, but it's already previously approved. But in the spirit of being conservative, we always list pre-existing variances in our review and note.
Well, they weren't. That's why I'm saying, okay, you've cleared it up. There's nothing new in terms of variances on signage.
Correct.
That have already been approved.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so if there are no further questions of Mr. Higgins, I would move over to my last witness, who's our traffic expert.
And who's your traffic expert?
Jay Troutman.
Mr. Yep. Troutman, could you raise your right hand? The testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Jay Troutman, McDonough and Ray Associates, 105 Elm Street, Westfield, New Jersey.
All right, thank you. Now, Mr. Troutman, you're a licensed professional engineer with particular expertise in traffic engineering in the state of New Jersey. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you've had the pleasure of testifying before this board on, I understand, many prior occasions, and has always been accepted as an expert in your field. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so I would ask, Mr. Chairman, that you accept Mr. Troutman as our traffic expert.
Absolutely.
Having to go through his CV.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Troutman, you are a principal of McDonough and Ray Associates, a well-known traffic consulting firm in New Jersey, correct?
Yes.
And your firm prepared and you participated in the preparation of the traffic statement dated September 29th, 2023 that was submitted to the board as part of our application documents. Is that right?
Correct.
I also understand that your firm were the traffic experts and provided testimony back in 2020 on the prior application for the site that was before the board. Is that right?
Yes, we did.
And as such, you have your firm is familiar with the continuing development of the property. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
All right. I would ask you to just go through the highlights of your traffic statement and render an opinion with regard to the parking, circulation, ingress and egress vis-a-vis this proposed application and the request for the recreational use.
Yes, the first item is going to address one of the items from your traffic consultant's review, where they did a comparative trip generation analysis that basically shows that we kind of overestimated the traffic in our report. Your consultant's report shows we could have used a lower category. So depending on which category you apply, you're going to have a very small to non-significant traffic impact here. In either case, there could be zero increase over what's already approved, up to maybe 30 trips in a peak hour over what's approved. Neither trip impact is significant. In our report, basically, we take you through all the calculations, and our finding is that the site is generous in terms of parking supply, traffic circulation areas for all types of vehicles, access to refuse collection. It's a very well laid out site and a good fit for the proposed use. We have no other items in your consultant's review that I think they need to be addressed. They found the parking to be adequate. I think that's throughout your professionals' reviews, and we think this will be a very suitable site for the proposed use from a traffic standpoint.
All right. So when you say the board's professional, you are referring to the letter dated October 5th, 2023, issued by Dolan and Dean, who are the board's traffic experts, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And again, is your opinion that, and certainly the board's experts don't conflict with it, that we have adequate parking, egress, and ingress for this proposed recreational use?
Yes.
All right. So I have no further questions of Mr. Troutman at this time. If there are questions from the board, you've already seen his report. So no need to go through it in much detail since you can just hit the highlights, but he's certainly available for any other questions.
Let me address the board. Does anyone on the board have any comments for this particular witness first? Hearing none, I'm gonna open it to the public.
Yes.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Had one more item, Mr. Cahill, before you do that.
Sure, please.
All right, so obviously the thrust of the application, and while we're here, was for the request, the site plan use bulk variance approvals for the recreational use. Since we were coming back to the board this evening, it appeared before you, there was a second housekeeping item that we put into the application that we also noticed for, and we're looking for a clarification with regard to the prior resolution. I had the ability to discuss this with some of the board professionals. In 2020, the front building received the use variance approval for what was called limited retail and personal service use. And when we look at the resolution now, in retrospect, the applicant takes a position that the wording perhaps should be corrected so that there's no no conflicts if someone looks at this in the future down the road, you know, someone looks at an old resolution. And I say that because when we got the use variance approval in 2020 for that front building, it was not limiting, it was an addition to the other uses in the LI1 zone that were permitted. But the way the wording comes out, it almost looks in the resolution like that building was only approved for use for limited retail and personal service. So that's why we're asking for the qualification. Of course, with regard to the last application, there were exceptions that the building could not be used for restaurants or funeral home usage. And we certainly agree that those would be exceptions. But we're asking, since we're before you and we have the opportunity, that we also get a clarification to the prior resolution so that it doesn't look like the front building is limited to only that which the use variances were approved for back in 2020. It just seems like we're here, we could take the opportunity to clean that up. And I don't fault anybody. Look, everybody looks at draft resolutions. Applicants look at them as well. They're provided. You know, you look at these down the road and you say, you know, maybe we should have asked it to be worded a little bit differently to just avoid confusion. Again, when all of us are gone and someone's looking at a resolution down the road as to what really the intent was. So that's the only other part. It's a housekeeping item that we're requesting this evening.
Mr. Chairman, you should probably check with Mr. Hinterstein and Mr. Chadwick on this.
Henry, would you chime in?
I don't see any reason, really any issue with that. I mean, I really think the limitation was really, you know, sort of the parameters on the limitations were for the uses that weren't permitted in the zone, not for uses allowed in the zone. The zone is what it is. It's a permitted use. So if the, you know, use that's there now went away and you came back with a zoning permit or CCO permit for a use permitted in the zone. But if, like I said, I don't see any issues with that. I think what's going to be your guiding factor there for that building would be, again, as always, is there parking? Is there associated infrastructure that could support the use that you're proposing there? But the use itself, if it's allowed, it's allowed. And again, I think that limitation was more so because that retail use was limited, not the industrial use aspect. So if there's language that, you know, you want that clarified in this resolution, I don't see an issue with it. I don't think we ever limited it previously.
No, I don't think you did either. But it, again, just reading it, and it's not us. Look, we're familiar with it. But you look at these things as a developer down the road in 10 years when staff members aren't around, you could read that resolution and it may create some confusion.
Yeah, so again, I don't see.
We took the opportunity, since we're here, should you look favorably on this, to have you include it in this resolution.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with that. What Henry said, we're making a mountain out of this anthill. Just put a note on the resolution.
Yeah.
Direct Jim to do it.
Okay. That's satisfactory, Mr. Morse?
Yes. And we appreciate that. So that is our case. That is all of our requested relief this evening.
Thank you. Any members of the board have any questions for this application or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this particular application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application with the language that Mr. Keneally mentioned earlier, with the EV stations being up and operational by April 30th, 2024. Can I get a second on the... my?
5 seconds.
Thank you, CalPERS. Can I get a roll?
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio? Did we lose Roy? Oh, there he is.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Morse, I'll be in touch with you regarding the clarification language.
All right, very well. Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Thank you, members of the board. Have a pleasant evening.
Have a good evening. Good night, gentlemen. Good
night.
Let's move on to item number 13, 23-ZB-72/73V, Keyway Chicken Restaurant, New Jersey, LLC.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is David Shafkowitz. I'm here tonight on behalf of the applicant.
I'll go with P-Way, but I don't, I'm not sure what my client
intended. I don't know why I said that, but it's normally the abbreviation we see, so.
I'm teasing. And I know the board's had a long night tonight, so I appreciate you hanging in there for us.
Thank you.
I'm here tonight, like I said, on behalf of PWY Chicken Restaurant NJ LLC. They're the applicant and proposed tenant for this parcel property located at 1000 Stelton Road on the corner of Stelton and Sealy Avenue. Property is located in the township's GB zoning district. The subject parcel is approximately 53,500 square feet, give or take. Certainly over an acre. As the board may be aware, it was currently being operated as an Exxon gas station, which is improved with an existing one-story garage structure and several gas pumps. My client is intending to essentially redevelop the site into a Bojangles chicken fast food restaurant with drive-through and affiliated parking. As the board may be aware, there's a little bit of environmental history with this property. It was under a cleanup, received its clearance, and is in the monitoring phases of the property. And as was noted in one of the review letters, still being they're still monitoring wells on the site, and we'll explain to the board how those are going to be addressed going forward. The fast food restaurant that's being proposed is going to be approximately 3,138 square feet in size. It's a prototypical Bojangles fast food restaurant with the double drive-through. It will maintain its access to and from Stelton Road. It will maintain its access to and from Sealy Avenue. There is sufficient parking that's being proposed as set forth in the ordinance. As the board's also aware, the use is permitted by conditional use. I think the only thing the applicant has issues with in terms of why we're here today with the board, besides seeking the site plan approval, is that there are variances related to signs and some basin fencing. Otherwise, I think the applicant is compliance with the use criteria set forth in the ordinance. In reviewing the application and the review letters and getting the staff review and discussing the matter with the applicant, the good news is I think we're going to propose to eliminate some of the variances, specifically the ones related to the proposed freestanding sign, taking it out of the site triangle, making sure it's compliant. In conjunction with that, zoning request was a placement of the sign within inside the 25-foot setbacks that are permitted or that are required. We're going to move the freestanding sign outside the 25-foot setbacks. And then the other sign variance that was talking about are directional signs and moving the directional signs to be compliant as to 10 feet. So that will just leave us with a couple of variances related to the proposed basin wall and fence and the number of signs that are being proposed for the site. Originally, the applicant was proposing 5 facade signs on the building. We do have some photos that we can share to show how those look. In talking to the applicant, we'll reduce those signs from 5 to 3. And once you see the signs, you'll see how the Bojangles lays out along with some of their architectural features. Mr. Chairman, having said that, the board doesn't have any questions. I have 2, potentially 3 witnesses, which I advised that they should not go through their testimony quickly, but go through succinctly. And Michael Galante is our site engineer, no problem, and planner. He's be doing a double duty. Andy Jafola is our traffic engineer. He's here as well. And then Sanjay Patel, who is the owner operator of the Bojangles. To the extent the board has any operational questions, I'm going to hold him in reserve, so to speak, Mr. Chairman, if the board has questions. Having said that, Mr. Galante, I know, is present, and I think if we could share a screen with him, he could put the plans on the screen and go through
his testimony. Mr. Galante, can you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Michael Galante, 76 Argyle Avenue, Blackwood, New Jersey.
Thank you.
I think Michael's in the dark to keep his young kids away from the computer, so.
Yeah, I don't have good lighting down here.
Michael, go through your qualifications for the board, if you don't mind.
Yeah, my name is Mike Galante. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I'm also a licensed professional planner. I'm a registered engineer in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and also an licensed engineer in the state of Maryland. I got my bachelor's and master's of science at Rutgers University.
Mr. Galante, your credentials are fine with me.
Please, all right, great. Thank you.
That's fine.
And Mr. Chairman, before Michael starts, we are going to have him have that double duty of site design engineer and planner. Because he's also. All right, Mike, why don't you
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through the plans fairly straightforward. The first thing I'm going to do is share the plan set here and just go through very succinctly. We are proposing a Bojangles restaurant. Project is located at Block 5501, Lot 7.03, 11.04, 1000 Stelton Road, of course, in Piscataway. What you see here is our cover sheet. This is a tax map. I'm going to go down to the existing conditions plan to kind of describe the existing conditions of the site, talk about what currently exists, and then describe what we're proposing. So on the site, you see an existing automobile service station that currently is pushed up close to Stelton Road, has multiple access points, two access points on Stelton Road, one on Sealy Avenue. To the rear of the site, there's a grass lot with an old historic access drive. And primarily vacant. Throughout the site, you'll see that there's numerous monitoring wells. As Mr. Shaftowitz mentioned earlier, the site has had some environmental issues, and that's been being monitored through the LSRP program with the state. Going down to the site plan, north being top of the page, I'm trying to line this up a little bit, Sealy Avenue, and then east Stelton Road. We're proposing the 3,138 square foot Bojangles restaurant. It's proposed to have a double drive-through, a right-in, right-out driveway off of Stelton Road, and a full movement driveway off of Sealy Avenue. Immediately around the site, I would say to the north, You head toward the highway 287 on ramps. To the east, you have the road is actually divided by a barrier, and beyond, you have some hotel uses and various mixed commercial uses. To the south, you have existing fast food restaurants, and to the west, you have more industrial style users. We feel like this site fits very good within this location, since we're taking an existing structure that is in poor condition, and we're going to create a nice new restaurant that can be utilized by all the numerous commercial users, hotels that are located within the area. The site also, if you'll look at the plan, you'll see that the site has a total of, let me just make sure I get the right number here, 22 parking stalls when 21 are required. And as I talk about that, I want to describe one of the variances that we need and one of the ways that we help to try to mitigate that variance, one pertaining to the fence around the basin. But to the west side of the site, there is a rain garden bioretention basin that will accept stormwater runoff, infiltrate, and we are not proposing pure infiltration. We have an under drain, which goes into a outlet structure and then discharges at Sealy Avenue. On the eastern side of the site, we are routing the roof drains into the stormwater system on Stelton Road. I'm going to head down and just go look at the grading plan just very briefly, just to talk a little bit about drainage. I'll go back. I'll talk about the signage and talk about the variance relief. So to discuss the drainage, as you can see, the site has a series of inlets that'll collect stormwater runoff, route it into this basin area. Along the basin area, there's a retaining wall. And the reason I talked about the parking, the basin, the retaining wall, is because when we originally were looking at this site, we're actually trying to fit more parking on the site. However, to help improve stormwater management and minimize the amount of wall area we would need, we actually took out this row here, understanding that we had adequate parking, which created more green space, more pervious cover, and created a greener site, which we thought looked nicer then have an additional parking that's kind of at the back of the site, really not in a good location across the drive-through. We envisioned any parking at the western side of the site. This area would probably be used by the employees. However, we are adequately parked per the ordinance, and we feel like this scheme is adequate. Plus, when we talk about the variance, one of the variances that we have is the way the ordinance calculates the height of fences, they include the height of the wall in the basin. So in order to, one of the constraints on our site is the adjacent property, and we didn't want to put our basin so close to it. So we want to have a buffer there and a good earthen berm. So when the basin fills up, there's no chance that the water is going to go on the adjacent site. We want it to overflow in the event of a large 100-year storm. If it were to overflow, we want it to head out to the right-of-way, not affect the neighbors. However, the basin is designed to maintain and manage the 100-year storm. With that said, the wall actually acts as a is minimized. The wall area is minimized, but created that fence, that variance for the fence, which I'm going to talk about in a little more detail. I just wanted to see, make sure I could describe that to the board so they understand it, and the logic behind our design. Moving down, we have a utility plan, shows more of the inlets, and then we have our landscape plan, which we did receive some comments on, and we are ready and willing to work with the township professionals, landscape architect, to get a landscaping scheme that they feel would be more appropriate for the site. We try to design the site with a good amount of landscape, but also manageable landscape. However, we feel like, given the comments from the professionals, we can make this landscape scheme better and make the site much more aesthetic to the area. Because when you're coming off the highway and you're coming down and you're heading towards Piscataway, this is your corner site, one of the first sites you're going to see as you're heading south on Stelton Road. Next sheet is our lighting plan. We are proposing LED lights throughout the site. We try to, our goal is to maintain a half a foot candle in all walking areas. The half a foot candle level is the amount of light you need to find your keys in a parking lot. That's usually the rule of thumb that we use. However, if anybody feels there's additional lighting or they want us to make some mods, we can always make those adjustments. But we've been, the lighting scheme that we've been working on has been fairly well and worked very well for the sites that we designed. Now we have our soil erosion sediment control plan. That gets approved internally within the township. So we have not submitted that to the conservation district. That was our understanding early on at the meetings. And we will certainly await township approval on that. And then I understand that happens after this process. And then we just have our site details. So I want to jump back just real quick and talk about some of the variances. And I know Mr. Shafkowitz was very, detailed in his explanation. But the first variance that is listed on the agenda is, of course, 21606, no encroachment into a site triangle. The freestanding sign located at the northeast section of the site is located within that site triangle. The applicant is proposing to move that sign, and in doing so, we're going to eliminate two of the variances. So we're going to take the freestanding sign, where we would prefer it to be a pylon sign similar to the existing sign, and move it back outside of the 25-foot setback. So we're going to pull the sign back up to this section of the parking lot to keep it out of the setback, thus taking it out of the site triangle. We are also, I talked briefly about the fence. I'll go back to that. And there's actually two fence variances. I'll go back to that. And then the wall signs, we're actually proposing 5 wall signs on the plan. And if the board would like me to, I could show what the building is going to look like. We did submit that with the packet. However, we are going to move the signs. We're going to reduce the number of proposed signs down to 3 wall signs, so we can eliminate that variance. One variance that we are still requesting is the size of the freestanding sign. The ordinance allows for 32 square feet. We have 55.59 proposed. Given the location, how far it's set back, we feel that this variance would be justifiable because we need, while we want to maintain the ordinances, we also want to maintain adequate visibility for the use. And I will note that the existing sign is located much closer to the right-of-way, as you can see in the existing conditions plan, than what we are going to propose, which would be 25 foot from both frontages. The and moving down, there's also the directional sign variances, which we will also relocate this directional sign here, and any other directional signs will get them to meet the 10-foot setback. So we can eliminate those variances as well. So realistically, we are coming in. We are a conditional use by definition. And under the conditional use criteria, there is a statement that requires that to meet the criteria, you have to meet every section of the ordinance. So in this case, we comply with majority of all sections of the ordinance: parking, setbacks, pervious cover, all the different requirements. And what we are not meeting are the size of the freestanding sign and the fence and retaining wall. And as I described earlier, we tried to mitigate that variance early on by reducing the parking to meet just what we need, which created more green space. The fence around the basin is, while the ordinance defines it as being the wall and the fence, the basin is in fact itself, set down. So when you're driving down the road and you're going down Sealy Avenue, you're at elevation 95. The bottom of the basin is down at elevation 90. So the actual visual impact is not an 8-foot high wall. It's visually a 4-foot high fence. So therefore, we feel, while the definition defines it as a variance, we feel we meet the criteria just through the design, because the intent is not to have an 8-foot high fence around the site. It's to provide adequate stormwater, adequate buffering to the adjacent use, and also as much green space as practical to meet the requirement to beautify the site. I think that pretty much sums up my testimony. Unless you want me to show the what the building would look like.
Before you get in there, Mike, just a couple of quick things.
Sure.
I noticed from the existing features to the proposed that some access points are being eliminated. Is that correct?
Yes. And so I know there's going to be some traffic testimony, so I didn't want to get too deep into that. But I did, as I stated previously, there's a full movement driveway closer to the intersection of Sealy Avenue and Stelton Road. And there's two right in, right out driveways or two driveways located along Stelton Road. We're actually consolidating that to one driveway. Both driveways are going to be located as far as feasible to Stelton Road and the intersection of Stelton Road and Sealy Avenue. One being full movement, the other one being right in, right out. The reason Stelton Road has to be right in, right out, obviously, is because there's a median at the center of the roadway.
Okay, great. And can you just briefly...
And then one more, I should have, the big grand finale, the sidewalks, right? We're adding sidewalks along the entire frontage, which was a staff comment. And we actually feel like this will really help two things. County has a Vision Zero plan, which adding sidewalks along a major roadway, a county roadway, will help improve safety. And it also, helps connect the surrounding uses. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks for that, Mike. Just briefly, and we'll get into traffic in a little more detail, but just the circulation of the site. Can you explain?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So generally what would happen is if you're coming off the highway or driving down Stelton Road, you make a right into the site and you would be required to make a right coming in and following the arrows. And then that would get you to your either double drive through, or you could go find a parking stall and walk into the building. The site circulates counterclockwise. So you would come into the site, come around, go through the drive through, and then go out, and either you could either make a left and go back out to, you can go out and make a left and go to Seeley Avenue, or go right and go out to Stelton Road. And I have a good visual, if there are questions, showing how the double drive through works. And it also shows the how the site's going to look, if that's something the board would want to see.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you go into some of those visuals now? That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah. I just, you know, if I just go into my email here. Haven't done this in a while. Okay. So I have some. Can everyone see what I'm looking at here?
Yes.
Okay. So this is, these are pictures of a typical Bojangles. Wish I could get this to show a little bit better, but as you can see, as you go down, you can see a good drive through. You see how they put, you know, in some instances, they have these temporary delineators to kind of help delineate traffic. And also, you know, you can see how the site generally circulates. They have these like temporary delineators to help, you know, manage traffic going around a drive through. And it generally, like much drive throughs, you circulate around, you come out, and then you could go either way. So that's a good visual of what it's going to look like.
Were these visuals part of the submitted application package?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. I do have, I should have mentioned that, Dave. We should have marked these as an exhibit and submit them.
Okay, we'll mark these as A1 with today's date.
Yep.
Thank you.
I actually thought these are actually more realistic photos. What was submitted with the application are renderings, which are still very similar to what you see, but I felt like the realistic photos, these are actually the visuals submitted with the application, just showing the drive-through, showing parking, showing the, you know, the double drive-through. And that's what you have in your packet today.
So Mike, the, going back to the photos and the architectural renderings that were submitted, they generally depict the types of signs that are being proposed for the site.
Yes.
For the building facade, I should say.
Yes.
Can we point out which signs are being eliminated?
Yes. I think I can do that. And the owner's here too, if he wanted to, you know, generally chime in, but we have, just to kind of go through where the signs are located, we have a Bojangles sign, a logo sign facing Seeley Avenue, and a graphic facing Seeley Avenue. And then we also have the Bojangles sign facing Stelton Road. I would assume that the owner would be willing to, would want to take away, if any, I mean, the signs that are really just facing the adjacent site in general, they'd be less view and less advertising. So in this case, there's two signs. There's a graphic sign, 60.5 square foot at the drive-through, and there's another logo sign at the drive-through. So that would be two of the signs that, in my opinion, would probably be the ones to be removed, unless the owner is here and he could tell me otherwise. I see him raising his hand.
Well, we'll get to Mr.
Yeah,
sure.
So there's two signs, just to summarize, there's two signs facing Seeley Avenue, one sign facing Stelton Road, and another sign facing, or two signs facing the adjacent site at the drive-through lane.
All right. And Mike, just one more question. When you were talked in depth about the stormwater management that's being proposed, is there any existing stormwater management on the site?
In terms of BMPs, no. Generally, the site sheet flows into the right-of-way.
All right. So do you believe that the installation of the stormwater management features discussed would be an improvement for the site?
Yes.
And an improvement for the surrounding area?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Mr. Chairman, I have no other questions of Mr. Galante.
Do any other members of the board have any questions for this witness?
Well, Mr. Chairman, do you want to go the site impact statement regarding the...
That'd be a great idea.
Is there, you want to offer that you'll just comply, that's fine as well, to the all the engineering items and other items in the report, but we can go through them if you like.
I think that'd be best for
you. Yeah, we can go through them. I think to the extent that we didn't go... address any in any particular detail, we would comply. So
Is this the Division of Engineering Planning Development Report?
Correct.
October 12th, 2023?
Correct.
Yes. What do you think is the best way to do it? Do you want me to go line by line, or how do you want me to?
Well, line by line works for me. About...
Yeah, we can go through them, or you could say you're complying with all of them.
I'll just go through. Number one, we have to comply. Number two, we would provide what's called a make ready station on site.
I think the township would like to see one operational.
They want an operational.
Yeah, one, just one, but an operational unit at CO.
All right, I will defer to the owner. I don't know if that would be a problem, but I'd rather the owner make that determination, definitely.
Three and four comments, which you'll agree to, I imagine.
Yep. There was, and they did mention the dedication by Middlesex County. To keep the sidewalk out of the easement, we will comply with that. We did look at that. We don't foresee any issues with setbacks or any. We don't see creating any variances.
Okay. The only I don't know what the county required. The right of way is 104 feet on Stoughton Road. I don't know what the half width is on that road currently. Typically, we ask for whatever the master plan half width is. The county may only require a portion of that to be, fee simple. If there's other area that isn't, that the county doesn't ask for, the township may still request that the right of way be given. It could probably be done in an easement form. So it doesn't impact any of the setbacks or any of the area of the site.
Okay, yeah, and that would be my question. So the county's comment has a 2-foot setback behind the sidewalk. I don't think that's going to impact our sign. Any more than that could impact the sign setback. So
you just have to look at that, and if it requires additional half width, then it could be done as an easement. And again, there'll be no impact
on
any of the setback.
Great.
Mike, by the way, I just received word that the electric spot will be okay. So that's a welcome.
Great. Yep. Great. That's a welcome reply. Number six, yes. Number seven, yes. Number eight, yes. Monitoring wells. There was a question about monitoring wells. They are going to remain. They will be, all monitoring wells are being coordinated with an LSRP. They will also be retrofitted in the event they're an asphalt pavement to make sure that they can be driven on so that the site can operate.
So just
there are there are a couple monitoring wells in the building area that have to get relocated, and that is also being coordinated by the owner.
Okay.
The number 10, yes. Number 11, yes. 12, that's a variance, yes. We were asking for relief. We understand the condition. I think we explained that. Detail for the dumpster, we can comply. We did show renderings of what the building is going to look like for 14. I feel like that would satisfy that requirement. Mm-hmm. 15... 15 will comply. 16, we are reducing the number of facade signs. I believe the owner is going to weigh in on which ones they're willing to remove.
The recommendation was the graphic signs, not the Bojangle signs, just the graphic print signs on each side of the building. I think that was acceptable based on, I think, what the attorney had discussed, but I'll leave that up to the owner to confirm that, or the attorney to confirm that.
Number 17, we discussed that about having a pole mounted sign.
The only thing that wasn't addressed on that, I don't have an issue with the pole mounted versus the monument at that setback location. We do have an issue with the reader board sign.
It's not going to be electric.
The township doesn't want any kind of reader board signs. We just have an application right next door to this application. with the stagnant reader sign that came in. And we also required that that applicant to remove the sign, because again, it's not something that we permit by ordinance. It's not something that we're looking to do, is create all these reader board signs. I don't have a problem with the sign being increased a little bit. I know your main sign is about 30 something square feet. That sign area could perhaps be enlarged slightly.
There will be no reader boards, by the way. No reader boards.
Okay.
The owner confirmed.
That's no problem.
Yep. Directional signs, yes, we stated we'll comply. 19, we're definitely going to comply. We'll conform to the pavement detail for the parking lot. 4-inch conduits along frontages. Yeah, we'll coordinate with, you know, whatever. Where the best location is, of course. Yeah. Number 22 broke my heart, but I'll comply.
Broke your heart?
It broke my heart, man. No, I'm kidding.
But imagine what it did to my heart.
22. I'll get my landscape architect. I already sent it to him. I'm going to have him really hone in and make it nice. You'll see.
No problem.
Number 23 is a comply. 24. We'll make sure we add adequate notes for the deer rub protection. Number 25 is also a county comment. So yeah, we're definitely going to comply. It's a county comment on, I guess you have all broken or damaged on Stelton Road, probably Sealy, I'm guessing you mean as well.
Correct. Correct. I should have said Sealy as well for the curb.
Yeah, the county had it on Stelton. So yeah, so we'll comply. And Title 39, is that just the signage?
Signage, yeah, gives the police the authority to write tickets.
Hey, I have to call you tomorrow because I'm still in the zoning board meeting.
So and do you need a copy of the Middlesex County review letter?
Well, eventually, you know, you're going to have to
comply. I can send that. Yeah,
I have. The conditions will be that you comply with Middlesex County.
Yep, and that's not a problem.
Scheduled for approval. So I think we're in good shape with the county.
Okay, I think we're good. I don't know if John has anything.
I have a report dated September 12th. Most of the items were discussed either in testimony or just now. The only items, can you bring the elevations up?
Yes.
Was submitted.
That was submitted, yes. That's not the one. Hold on. Here they are.
All right. Can you
this elevation.
Which of those signs? I want the one is... There's one proposed at 110 square feet and another at 125. Is that the BO signs?
The BO sign, that's a good question.
John, I believe those are the larger signs are the graphic signs on the side of that brown.
Yeah,
both side elevations had these graphic signs. You can see the outline shown here.
Okay.
That's the sign I wanted to be eliminated. I mean, the other signs sort of made sense.
Yeah, we're kind of going around this. We're waiting for, I guess, the owner to tell us which signs he...
Which he's taking up.
Then I think we have to ask the question, how big are they?
Yeah, Mr. Chadwick, in conferring with the client, we will agree to remove the graphic signs that are being discussed. So we're just the signs that would remain are
they're gone. Okay.
The ones that say Bojangles.
Yeah, those are the only the Bojangles and the two signs, yeah.
Okay. And the pole sign will have what you said, 55 square feet?
55.29, I think it was.
And that still remains as a variance. And Henry, you were saying you could increase that a little, which address that sign.
Well, the 55 included the reader board. So if you eliminate the reader board, there's that main sign was 37, I believe, or somewhere in that neighborhood. So I don't have a problem with that sign, like up to 55, preferably a little bit less because, again, we're eliminating the reader board. We're trying to
get... I agree. Yeah. It's those two big decal signs that I thought were just more than...
What do we say? Yeah, maybe we could say 45 square feet for that main sign.
fine with me.
Is that what you want to keep it at 45?
No more than that, yeah. Which gives you a little bit of leeway, like an additional, I think, almost 8 square feet from what it is now. If you eliminate the reader board, you could still get the main sign to be slightly larger if you so choose.
The 5x9 sign, good size sign.
Yeah, yeah, that will
45. Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yep.
Okay.
No more. No other questions, John?
No.
Okay, and Henry, you're done as well, right? So yeah. Let's move on to your next witness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andy, if you're available, we'll do.
Should I share the screen, or does Andy gonna? Do you need me to keep the plan up?
I have your plan, Mike.
Okay, I'm gonna back off. Yep. It as okay. I don't know how to stop sharing. It's been a while here.
On the bottom, I got to get, there's a little green box that says.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to the. I like minimized it. Oh, there it is. All right, let me just stop share here.
Well, Mike, while you're doing that, maybe we can have Andy sworn in and he can talk a little bit about his background.
Oh, cool.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Name is Andrew Giappola, located at 1904 Main Street in Lake Como, New Jersey.
Thank you.
And Mike, I'm sorry, Mike. Andy, do you mind just, it's getting late. Do you mind just briefly going through your qualifications for the board?
Sure. I'm a registered professional engineer in New Jersey. I've been a practicing traffic engineer since I started in this business over 16 years. Now I've testified in front of numerous boards, including this board several years ago now, but I have been in front of this board as well, several others.
That's fine. We'll accept it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Andy, I understand that you prepared an initial report for this particular project. If you can just go through the board, the details in terms of the traffic generation, the circulation and the drive-through, provide the board with the comfort, in your opinion, that the site will work as designed.
Sure. So our office prepared a traffic impact parking assessment dated May 1st, 2023. It was submitted to your board. It was also reviewed by the board's consultant, Dolan and Dean, who also issued a letter reviewing the report. And to the best of my understanding and through reading it, I didn't see any real concerns with the content of that report. But nevertheless, I would like to just kind of step through the report and what we did here. Just overall from a traffic perspective, what we'd start to look at when we look at a site like this is what is the existing use and compare that to the proposed use. On the existing use, you have a gas station, a service station is located on Stelton Avenue. So you get a lot of pass by customers that are coming into that station. That would be replaced with a fast food establishment, the proposed Bojangles. I think this Bojangles really fits very well within this corridor. I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fast food restaurants within the corridor: Wendy's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, White Castle, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and McDonald's. A little bit further down Stelton. And the reason why I bring that up is because this is really just becomes another option to that existing fast food customer that already exists within the corridor. Certainly someone may be interested in Bojangles and they want to check this out, but this isn't something that I see really changing the traffic patterns in the corridor. Again, it really just becomes another option for the customer that already exists within the corridor. So with any fast food establishment, you'd find the vast majority of the customers are pass-by customers. They're customers that already exist within the street network. I think for this site in particular, I would expect that percentage to be much higher than, say, a typical fast food restaurant that is just out there on the road. But even with that, with that assumption, when we compare the proposed use to the existing use, we're still just seeing a nominal increase in trips, and actually in some cases, a reduction in trips based on the Institute of Transportation Engineers. So with that, from the traffic perspective, I really don't foresee any kind of impact with this site. I think it fits very nicely within this corridor. You heard a little bit of discussion about the circulation and the driveways. Mike summarized what we're doing with the driveways. There's a bifurcated access along Stelton Avenue or Stelton Road, which is going to be, let me share my screen here. Okay, hopefully you can see the screen here. We're going to be providing a right-in, right-out driveway along Stelton Road, and then as well as a full-movement driveway along Sealy Avenue. So this is an improvement over existing conditions because we're reducing the curb cuts on Stelton Avenue or Stelton Road. Of course, this would be subject to review and approval by Middlesex County. And as you heard, we have been asked to, you know, in addition to the driveways, repair any broken pieces of curb, install sidewalk and those things. And that's going to really brighten up the frontage for this site. From a parking perspective, you heard that we do comply with the ordinance. I don't really have anything else to add there unless there's questions, but there is a requirement. We do meet that requirement. From a circulation perspective and delivery, I know that's always a question and is also a question within the Dolan and Dean letter. You know, the size of the vehicle, it's a typical tractor trailer that will come delivered to the site.
This email.
And it would enter it would enter the site from Sealy Avenue, come around the backside of it and exit out onto Stelton Road. It's just very common, I'm sure, with a lot of the other establishments within the area. And there has been a vehicle circulation prepared, I believe, by the site engineer. And we can certainly submit that to the board as part of resolution compliance to show that that works. That a delivery, I'm told, by the operator occurs during off hours. And then you also have one a garbage truck coming in during off hours to handle the garbage. As far as drive-through customers, you know, based on information from the operator, you know, this site, and this is actually consistent with what we've seen with other kind of chicken sandwich establishments, not Chick-fil-A, but other chicken sandwich establishments, is 75% drive-through, where you have about 25% dine-in. And what that's going to really do is really going to make use of the double drive-through that is proposed for this site. You know, we have the ability to stack 14 vehicles within the drive-through before crossing the crosswalk. And if it ever were needed, and I don't foresee that it ever would be, you could actually stack another four vehicles to get you about 18 vehicle stack. That is a very large stack for a fast food restaurant. You know, that's more analogous to the very heavy hitters out there, like a very busy McDonald's or a very busy, maybe a not so busy Chick-fil-A, maybe an average Chick-fil-A. But anyway, my point is this well exceeds anything that we normally see on a lot of fast food restaurants. As for the number of employees, again, I've been told by the operator, you can hear from him directly if you'd like, but what was summarized to me is that there'd be a total of 20 employees. This is total staff for the restaurant as a whole. They would be broken out into about 10 per shift. And as for hours operation, the hours of operation are 5 a.m. Can't read my own handwriting. I'm sorry. Till 1 a.m. 5 a.m. until 5 a.m. till midnight on weekdays, and on Friday and Saturday, 5 a.m. to 1 a.m. Again, that was a question that was brought up in the Dolan and Dean letter, so I'm just responding to that. Beyond that, I don't have any additional direct. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any members of the board have any questions for this witness? I honestly believe at this point, sir, with the testimony and with your agreement to the site impact issued by the engineering department, I think we could probably move this real quickly, if you get my gist.
I'm okay, Mr. Chair. Mr. Patel is just available should there be any questions on the operational side, but I think the professionals did a good job of addressing those questions.
So do I. Any other members? So I'm going to proceed at this point. Are you okay with it? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any members of the board have any comments or questions about this application?
Mr. Chairman, just one quick question.
Sure, sir.
The menu board, the takeout ordering, I assume that the volume control is controlled so that it's based on the ambient noise and it won't be blaring at night?
That is correct. Okay. And there is internal controls to those go down as the during the night.
Noise level goes down, correct?
When the dinner rush is gone.
Yeah, I have one question too. I didn't put a lights out question.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
You're gonna shut the lights out at the.
Yeah, when it closes, the lights will be on a timer to go out.
Okay.
No problem.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public sector have any questions or comments about this application? No, Ms. Buckley, you're muted, ma'am.
Yeah, I hit the button. Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. No. I'm going to close the public portion at this point, and I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
We will memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good evening. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Let's move on to item number 14, adoption of the resolutions from the regular meeting of September 28th, 2023.
First resolution is Brandy Rivera. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Ronco Development, 146 Hillside Avenue. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Ronco Development, 160 Hillside Avenue. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Last is Piscataway Development, the Sonic Restaurant. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have.
Okay, item number 15, which is the adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of September 28th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And notice 16, number 16, adjournment. Thank you all for a late night tonight. By the way, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm starving now. All this talk about chicken, I got a hankering. Thanks again, everybody. I appreciate your volunteerism and whatnot. And tonight was a late one, so I really am thankful.
And happy Halloween.
Let's all connect or disconnect. Yes, happy Halloween.
No, I'm going to see you before that, though. At the
same time.
See you on the 26th.
We'll see you on the 26th. We'll see you before that. I'm thinking it's the end of October, right?
All right, guys. PCTV, take us away.
Yeah, have a good evening, everyone.
Take us off, PC.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.